Good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Yahushua. The name of this program is Cross the Border. My name is Nicholas. We've been going through the book of Genesis, and we've got to about, where are we here? Chapter 41. And up to this point, well, we got to the part in the story where Joseph was carried off into Egypt. The narrative picked up there and found out that he was in the prison, and he interpreted some dreams, and he asked the butler to remember him, but he forgot all about him. So in chapter 41, verse 1, and we pick up, and it says, "And it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed, and behold, he stood by the river. And behold, there came up out of the river 7 well-favored kine, and kine is cattle, and fat-fleshed, and they fed in a meadow. And behold, 7 other kine, or cattle, came up after them out of the river, ill-favored, and lean-fleshed, and they stood by the other cattle upon the brink of the river. And the ill-favored and lean-fleshed kine did eat up the 7 well-favored and fat kine. So Pharaoh awoke." Okay. "And he slept, and he dreamed a second time. And behold, 7 ears of corn came up upon 1 stalk, rank and good." And rank, I think, has an opposite meaning today. Okay, but rank and good. "And behold, 7 thin ears and blasted with the east wind sprung up after them. The 7 thin ears devoured the 7 rank and full ears, and Pharaoh awoke. And behold, it was a dream. And it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled, and he sent and called all the magicians of Egypt, and all the wise men thereof. And Pharaoh told them his dream, but there was none that could interpret them to Pharaoh." You know, I'm surprised that they didn't make something up, or he just knew that if they did make something up, that he'd know whether it was true or not. Because this is a setup, you know, by who? You know, our Heavenly Father, the Creator. So in verse 9, he says, Then spoke the chief butler unto Pharaoh, saying, "I do remember my faults this day." And Joseph asked him to remember him. So finally, 2 years later, he remembers. The occasion arose. You know, any one of us put into the same position, we would probably forget all about Joseph. So he said, "I do remember my faults this day." And he's still speaking. "Pharaoh was angry with his servants and put me in ward in the captain of the guard's house, both me and the chief butler. And we dreamed a dream in one night, I and he. We dreamed each man according to the interpretation of his dream. And there was with us a young man, a Hebrew, servant to the captain of the guard, and we told him, and he interpreted to us our dreams, to each man according to his dream did he interpret. And it came to pass as he interpreted to us, so it was. Me he restored unto mine office, and he hanged him. And Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon. And he shaved himself and changed his clothes and came in unto Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret it. And I have heard say of thee that you can understand a dream to interpret it. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, Not I, it is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, In my dream, behold, I stood upon the bank of the river. And behold, there came up out of the river 7 kine, fat-fleshed and well-favored, and they fed in the meadow. And behold, 7 other kine came up after them, poor and very ill-favored and lean-fleshed, such as I have never saw in all the land of Egypt, for badness. And the lean and the ill-favored kine did eat up the first 7 fat kine. And when they had eaten them up, it could not be known that they had eaten them, but they were still ill-favored as at the beginning. So I awoke. And I saw in my dream, and behold, seven ears came up on one stalk, full and good. And behold, seven ears withered thin, blasted with the east wind, sprung up after them. And the thin ears devoured the seven good ears. And I told this unto the magicians, but there was none that could declare it unto me. And Joseph said unto Pharaoh, the dream of Pharaoh is one. God has showed Pharaoh what he is about to do. The seven good kine are 7 years, and the seven good ears are 7 years. The dream is one. And the seven thin and ill-favored kine that came up after them are 7 years. And the seven empty ears blasted with the east wind shall be 7 years of famine. This is the thing which I have spoken unto Pharaoh, that God, what God is about to do, he showeth unto Pharaoh. Behold, there come 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt, and there shall rise after them 7 years of famine, and all the plenty shall be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and the famine shall consume the land. And the plenty shall not be known in the land by reason of the famine following, for it shall be very grievous. And for that the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice, it is because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. Now therefore let Pharaoh look out a man discreet and wise, and set him over the land of Egypt, and let Pharaoh do this, and let him appoint officers over the land, and take up the fifth part of the land of Egypt in the seven plenteous years. So you're talking about a 20% tax on all of the crops in Egypt for 7 years. A fifth part in the seven plenteous years, and let them gather all the food of those good years that come, and lay up corn under the hand of Pharaoh, and let them keep food in the cities. And that food shall be for store to the land against the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land perish not through the famine. And the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh, and in the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a one as this is, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, forasmuch as God has showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according to thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than you. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set you over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand, and put it upon Joseph's hand, and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen, and put a gold chain about his neck. And he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had. And they cried before him, bow the knee. And he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath-Paaneah, and he gave him to wife Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. And Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt. There's some interesting names here. So Joseph gets Egyptian names, and he gets an Egyptian, the daughter of a Egyptian priest for a wife. And I don't know what a priest of On is. It just says a city of Egypt. So Egypt, and it's pronounced, On. And Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. So he was sold into slavery when he was 17 or 18, thereabout, 17 going on 18. So this is like 12 years later. He's 30 years old. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt. And the seven plenteous years of the earth brought forth by handfuls. And he gathered up all the food of the 7 years which were in the land of Egypt, and laid up the food in the cities, the food of the field, which was round about every city, he laid up in the same. And Joseph gathered corn, and corn is just grain. It's not necessarily like the corn that we have, you know, when you think of corn on the cob, but it would be grain. So, and Joseph gathered corn as the sand of the sea, very much until he left numbering, for it was without number. And they were plenteous years, and he was taking 20%, one-fifth. And unto Joseph were born two sons in the years before the years of famine came, which Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, bore unto him. And Joseph called the name of his firstborn Manasseh, for God, he said, hath made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. And the name of the second he called Ephraim, for God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. And the 7 years of plenteous that was in the land of Egypt were ended, and the 7 years of dearth began to come, according as Joseph had said, and the dearth was in all the lands. But in all the land of Egypt there was bread. And when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread. And Pharaoh said unto all the Egyptians, go unto Joseph. Whatever he says, that's what you do. And the famine was over all the face of the earth. And Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold unto the Egyptians. And the famine waxed sore in the land of Egypt. And all the countries came into Egypt to Joseph for to buy corn, because that the famine was sore in all the lands. Chapter 42. Now when Jacob saw that there was corn in Egypt, Jacob said to his sons, why do you look one upon the another? And he said, behold, I have heard that there is corn in Egypt. Get you down there thither and buy us for us from thence, that we may live and not die. And Joseph's 10 brothers went down to buy corn in Egypt. But Benjamin, Joseph's brother, Jacob, sent not with his brethren, for he said, lest peradventure mischief befall him. And the sons of Israel came to buy corn among those that came, for the famine was in all the land of Canaan. And Joseph was the governor over the land, and he it was that sold to all the people of the land. And Joseph's brethren came and bowed down themselves before him with their faces to the earth. And Joseph saw his brethren, and he knew them, but he made them himself strange unto them. So apparently he's wearing Egyptian garb, and he doesn't identify himself. And, you know, when he was a boy, and now he's 30 years old, but they don't recognize him for whatever reasons, and he's happy to leave it that way. So he says he made himself strange to them. And he spoke roughly unto them and said unto them, where do you come from? Whence come ye? The King James English says. And they said, from the land of Canaan to buy food. And Joseph knew his brethren, but they knew him not. And Joseph remembered the dreams which he dreamed of them. And if you remember the dream, it was his brothers bowing down to them, then his mother and his father bowing down to him. And he told that dream, and they hated him for that dream. And that's thus began all the events. I mean, they didn't like him before because his father favored him and gave him this coat of many colors. So he remembered the dreams, and he said to them, you are spies to see the nakedness of the land you are come. And they said unto him, no, nay, my lord, but to buy food are thy servants come. We are all one man's sons, and we are come, we are true men, thy servants are no spies. And he said unto them, nay, but to see the nakedness of the land you're come. You know, you've come to spy out the land. You come to see how vulnerable we are, basically. And they said, oh, thy servants are 12 brethren, the sons of one man, in the land of Canaan. And behold, the youngest is this day with their father, and one is not. And Joseph said to them, that is it. That is it that I spoke unto you, saying, you are spies. Hereby you shall be proved. By the life of Pharaoh you shall go forth hence, except your youngest brother come hither. So he send one of you, and let him fetch your brother, and you shall be kept in prison, that your words may be proved, whether there be any truth in you, or else by the life of Pharaoh, surely you are spies. Oh boy, he's got him going. And he put them all together in the ward 3 days. And Joseph said to them the third day, "This do, and live, for I fear God. If you be true, let one of your brethren be bound in the house of your prison. Go ye, carry corn for the famine of your houses, but bring your youngest brethren to me. So shall your words be verified, and you shall not die." And they did so. And they said one to another, We are verily guilty concerning our brother, in that we saw the anguish of his soul when he besought us, and we would not hear. Therefore is this distress come upon us." So now they're starting to feel the pangs of guilt about what they did to Joseph. But they still don't know that it is Joseph that's dealing with him. And Reuben answered them, saying, see, they're having a little powwow here. And Reuben answered them, saying, "Spoke I not unto you, saying, do not sin against the child? And you would not hear. Therefore, behold, also his blood is required." And they knew not that Joseph understood them, for he spoke unto them by an interpreter. So they're over there speaking in Hebrew. To make it even worse, Joseph is standing by listening to them. And they don't think, you know, I mean, I live near California. And there's Mexicans all around me. And I can pick out maybe every other word in Spanish. So a lot of times I can understand what they're saying. But they don't know that. And I don't let on. So I kind of know what he's talking about. But here, obviously, Joseph, you know, 12 years in Egypt. He's been speaking the language of the land for 12 years. And he's been speaking to them through an interpreter. He understands clearly what they are saying. And Reuben answered and said, "Spoke I not unto you, do not sin against the child, and you would not hear? Therefore, behold, also his blood is required." And they knew not that Joseph understood them, for he spoke unto them by an interpreter. And he turned himself about from them and wept. And you can imagine the emotion that rose up in Joseph, that he had to turn himself away. And I'm sure he left the room. And he returned to them again and communed with them and took from them Simeon and bound him before their eyes. Then Joseph commanded to fill their sacks with corn and to restore every man's money into his sack and to give them provisions for the way. And thus he did unto them. And they laded their asses with the corn and departed thence. And as one of them opened his sack to give his ass provender in the inn, so he's going to feed his ass some of the grain, and he sees his money. It was in the mouth of the sack when he opened it. And he said to his brethren, "My money is restored, and lo, it is even in my sack." And their hearts failed them. Could you imagine? Their hearts are jumping up into their throats. I mean, they were afraid, saying to one another, "What is this that God has done unto us?" And they came unto Jacob, their father, in the land of Canaan, and told him all that befell them, saying, "The man who is the Lord of the land spoke roughly to us, and took us for spies of the country. And we said unto him, we are true men, we are no spies. We be 12 brethren, sons of our father. One is not, and the youngest is this day when our father in the land of Canaan. And the man, the Lord of the country, said to us, hereby shall I know that you are true men. Leave one of your brethren here with me, and take some food for the famine to your households, and be gone. And bring your youngest brother unto me. Then I shall know that you are no spies, but that you are true men. So I will deliver you, your brother, and you shall traffic in the land." And it came to pass, as they emptied their sacks, that behold, every man's bundle of money was in his sack. And when both they and their father saw the bundles of money, they were afraid. And Jacob, their father, said unto them, "Me, you have bereaved of my children. Joseph is not, and Simeon is not. And you will take Benjamin away? All these things are against me." As Jacob is fretting now. And Reuben spoke to his father, saying, slay two of my sons if it bring him, if I bring him not to thee. Yeah, that'll work, Reuben. Yeah, Pop, here, slay two of your grandsons if I don't bring your son back. You know, this, like, that's an option, right? But he says this: if I bring him not to thee, deliver him to my hand, and I will bring him to thee again. And he said, my son shall not go down with you, for his brother is dead, and he is left alone. If mischief befall him by the way in which you go, then you shall bring down my gray hairs with sorrow to the grave. Thus he grieved enough for Joseph. And apparently now Benjamin is his favored son, his youngest son. And the famine was sore in the land. And when it came to pass that when they had eaten up the corn which they had brought out of Egypt, their father said unto them, go again, buy us a little food. And Judah spoke unto him, saying, the man did solemnly protest unto us. And you remember, Simeon is still in prison. They're not going to go because Jacob's not going to send him. He doesn't want to lose Benjamin. But here they've run out of food again. It's 7 years. And, you know, what do we have to learn by this? So food storage is not a bad idea. You know, whatever you can. When you go to the grocery store, buy a little extra bag of rice and put it by. You know, every time you go, just make it a habit. You know, every time you go to Walmart, you know, buy a box of bullets, you know, and put them by. You know, you're not going to miss it. You know, I mean, every time you go to, you stop at the fast food store, you give up, you know, one day a month going to the fast food store and buy a bag of rice and a box of bullets instead and set it by, and you won't even miss it. You know, just if you just make a habit of doing that, before you know it, you've got quite a bit of storage set up. But anyway, they did not, obviously. No one stored up anything. And, of course, in the 7 fat years, the people in Egypt were charged a 20% tax on all their grain. So they couldn't really store up. The Pharaoh got it all through Joseph. So anyway, so it comes about, and Judah spoke to them, him saying, the man did solemnly protest unto us, saying, you shall not see my face, except your brother be with you. So now he has to send Benjamin, or they're all going to starve to death. If thou wilt send our brother with us, we will go down and buy thee food. But if thou wilt not send him, we will not go down. For the man said unto us, you shall not see my face, except your brother be with you. And Israel said, wherefore dealt ye so ill with me, to tell the man whether you had yet a brother? He's going, oh, why? Why did you have to open your big mouth? And this is Jacob's point of view. So he doesn't know it's Joseph. Joseph already knows everything. You know, why did you tell the man you had another brother? You know how it is. And that's what Jacob's doing now, going, oh, why? Why? And they said, the man asked us straitly of our state and our kindred, saying, is your father yet alive? Have you another brother? And we told him, according to the tenor of those words, could we certainly know that he would say, bring your brother down? And Judah said unto Israel, his father, send the lad with me, and we will arise and go, that we may live and not die, both we and thou, and also our little ones. I will be surety for him. Of my hand thou will require him. If I bring him not unto thee, and set him down before thee, then let me bear the blame forever. For except we had lingered, surely now we had returned this second time. And what he's saying is that if we had gone immediately, we would have already been back. And their father Israel said unto them, if it must be so, now do this. Take the best fruits in the land of your vessels and carry down to the man a present. And we're going to pick up here. So a little musical interlude, and join me on the other side. You're listening to Cross the Border.